Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rochester Sports Leader, 95.7 ESPN.
You're back in the sports bar. Appreciate you joining us at AM 950 and 95.7 FM. Danger and Battaglia, also the radio.com app, free to download. You can listen to us anytime and anywhere. Making his inaugural visit into the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. It is a pleasure and an honor to talk to Mark Kelso, joining us for the first time. Mark, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How's it going? Sounds like a lot of exciting things happening.
Yeah, well, at this time of year, sports-wise. Sports world. Sports world, we got a lot to talk about, including the Red Wings. I mean, you're coming out to the game tomorrow night. Forecast looks great. You'll be signing some autographs. Wings hosting Columbus. Mark, if we could just get the tough questions out of the way here. I mean, for me, hearing you so many years on the Bills radio call, just enjoyed your analysis so much. Mark, your thoughts on your 12-year radio run in the Bills radio booth.
I had a great time. It was a great experience. It was great to be around the team. John Murphy is the best in the business in my book, and it's great to be around the city of Buffalo. I mean, I love Buffalo, and we've made our home in Buffalo, and great to be around the excitement in Western New York, and nothing says excitement in Western New York like a Bills game on Sunday afternoon, or a Sabres game for that matter, but really, really blessed and honored to be a part of the broadcast for that long, and now there's time to move on to some other things.
It sounds like you're at peace with how it ended. Mark, are you at peace with the end of the 12-year run?
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I'm in and out of town a lot, doing a lot of work with the race team here down in Charlotte, and it gets really difficult going back and forth. I mean, it's hard enough in the football off season, and during the season, it's 7 day a week, 15-hour days, and it gets kind of crazy. There's a lot of stuff going on here with the race team and all the other marketing programs that we have going on in conjunction with the race team, because we're really a marketing company that owns the race team, and we have programs in minor league baseball for that matter, and ironically that I'll be at the Red Wings, so there's a Grilling All-Stars program that we run, and we have programs of sustainability, programs with Feeding America. We've got all kinds of programming in the marketplace, and it becomes really difficult to travel into all these different places to initiate these programs around the country at retailers when they begin.
Mark, I get the sense, because some people might have the perception that, you just call a show up on Sundays. My perception of you treated the broadcast almost like you were a player, like with the amount of film and preparation that went into it. I mean, when you say that the amount of time, I mean, did you treat it like you were a player going into each broadcast?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I spent quite as much film time as a player, but just shy of what I would spend when I was a player. I mean, I probably spent 3 to 3.5 hours a day studying film. I had 40 pages of notes that I created a workbook that is the way I studied the game when I played, and then I put it into a workbook format after I went through teaching for a number of years and had that education background. I put it into a workbook and would go through that every week on every team. And on the upcoming opponent, that is. And so there's 40 pages of notes there. And by the time you read through all those things, you write them all down, you watch all that film, I mean, you've probably spent, close to 30 hours, 35 hours during the week preparing for a broadcast on Sunday afternoon to talk for 3 hours. And you really have a lot of material that you've collected, but you don't have an opportunity to look at that material or to sift through it during the broadcast. It's just got to all be committed to memory, pretty much whatever it is. And you've got a few notes in front of you. If there's some things that you really feel that are important to say, but for the most part, particularly when it's game time, you just everything is by memory, and you just call it as you see it, and you try to adjust to the situation as it occurs.
He's Buffalo Bills' great Mark Kelso. He's going to be signing tomorrow at the Red Wings game. Tomorrow night, the Wings hosting Columbus at 7:05 at Frontier Field. We'll talk about Buffalo Bills and expectations, what your eyes saw out of a rookie quarterback last year. But, you know, I want to talk first about the change that you went in your life, the transition from an NFL player to post-football life. How did it go for you, Kelso? And why is it so difficult for some players to make that transition?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the weekly competition level that they are accustomed to, and being in the locker room with a team and being surrounded by a team. I mean, it's no different than high school athletes if they don't play a collegiate sport, or college athletes if they don't go on and play at the second level beyond college, because they lose their team. I mean, and when you think about it, when you think about young players who are part of a team, it can be a lot of different things. It can be an athletic team. It can be a theatrical team. It can be a musical team. It can be a lot of different things. And when you lose that support group and that team, I mean, when you're amongst that group, they become your friend circle. So if you decide you like baseball when you're growing up and you start playing baseball, I mean, your circle of friends becomes those people that play on the baseball team or in the little league, that the town that you're associated with, and then maybe you go on and play in high school or college, and those teammates become your closest friends. And then sometimes that system is disrupted when you leave college or you leave the NFL, and it becomes a difficult identity crisis to figure out what are you going to do next and how are you going to create your identity. I mean, Marv Levy was fabulous at making sure that his players understood that we were not just football players, that we were husbands and we were fathers and we were teammates and we were friends and we had a lot of other things besides football on the resume. And you understand that that's important to your livelihood. It's important to the community because, you know, there's a lot of energy that's poured out in support of those organizations, but it's not who you are. It's what you do. And I think if you have that mentality, then you move on to do something else post football. Or post-professional career. It may be something that's related to the sport still, or ancillary to the sport, or even coaching the sport. But in my case, I chose it to spend my time coaching high school football and teaching. I went into education and taught fifth graders for a long time, and then administrated at the high school level for a whole bunch of years as well. And so you turn the page, and you're not an ex-football player. Now you're Mr. Kelso, the teacher, or Mr. Kelso, the administrator, or something else. And I think the guys that end up having more difficulty is players that have difficulty transitioning into that new role and that new identity.
Mark, we've had on our show Steve Tasker, Don Beebe, Scott Norwood, other teammates of yours. And I'm always interested when I ask this question because you don't see this in other teams. Why to this day does the core of that Buffalo Bills team still remain close?
We had so many just similar experiences, and we went through so many trials and tribulations, and we were able to fight through those things, and we became a family. I mean, I know sometimes it's cliche, but we have guys that really believed in each other, guys that stood along beside each other, guys who, you know, as I like to say with one of my good friends in Buffalo, Mike Masters, who runs a character program. Through athletics that we covered our brother. I mean, we were always caring about the guy that we played alongside. Our families became really close. A lot of those teammates settled in Buffalo because we loved the community and we wanted to plant some roots in that community and move on to do other things in that community as well. And I think it's just the mentality that we have with the organizational structure as well, with Bill Polian and Marv Levy. And again, that mentality that football is what you do; it is not who you are. And we had a really strong group of guys that were faithful men and believers in God, and spent time in Bible study together, and spent time serving the community, which the community was really a part of the success of that organization. Certainly through those years, and I think every year, it's the community, it's the entire community that's part of the organization, not just the guys that are on the field on Sunday afternoon. So that's part of it. And we had a great structure, and we had great opportunities to spend time together and build relationships, and we had really strong ones that have continued to this day.
Buffalo Bills great Mark Kelso joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. He will be appearing at the Red Wings game tomorrow night, signing autographs. The Wings hosting Columbus at Frontier Field at 7:05. While we have you, Mark, we'd love to talk some Buffalo Bills with you. I mean, you got to call all of those games with Josh Allen last year, year one, his rookie year, and now expectations feel like they're through the roof going into year two for Josh Allen. What's realistic in terms of Josh Allen in year two under Sean McDermott and Brian Daboll?
Well, they certainly begun to surround him with an awful lot of talent. I mean, it's going to be a work in progress offensively, and hopefully that work will occur during training camp and here during the off-season training that they engage in the off-season workouts, because they've got a lot of guys that have not played together. They've got a new center that he'll be working with, most probably, and they've got a new receiving core pretty much. I mean, they had some guys from last year. Obviously, Robert Foster is a guy that became a great weapon for Josh Allen, and he'll probably be able to stretch the field again. It looks like if he continues to progress at the level he did last year, will be an outstanding player in this league. Isaiah McKenzie did a lot of good work in the slot position, but then they've brought in a lot of guys as well with Beasley and Victor Bolden. I mean, there's so many guys, John Brown, that they brought in on the offensive side of the ball to try to stretch the field and give the Bills' offensive unit an opportunity to use the strengths that Josh Allen possesses with the strength of his arm and his ability to move outside the pocket and maybe throw on the run at times as well. And then, gosh gracious, they added a lot to the running back core as well and the offensive line. And, I mean, they've just looks like they've remade that entire offense. And let's see how things come together in training camp. And then defensively, they just sprinkle in a few extra players, somebody to replace Kyle Williams, which is a huge task, but looks like they found the person that they wanted who was that, Houston, right, from their first round draft pick?
Ed Oliver,
from Houston, and he looks like a guy that they can step into that position and help to make a formidable pass rush, which is something that I think they'd really like to have, and then hopefully you get Bat Milano back, and he's healthy. He was really tracking beautifully in his second year and before he suffered the injury, and it'll be nice to see him back in the fold. But they've got a lot of talent. The question is they've also got a lot of youth. So can they put that talent together? Can it be the sum of the parts is greater, or the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, or will it be the sum of the parts? But they've got a lot of pieces. They look like they have who they need at quarterback, and they just see if they can surround them with the right guys and see if that can become a winning formula. But it looks like it's tracking in the right direction. Let's just see what happens when they tee it up on Sunday afternoon.
Mark, the other first-round pick, and I think we can get excited about Tremaine Edmonds. Yeah. Tremaine Edmonds last year, gosh, what is the ceiling for? What did you see out of Edmonds? Because that's somebody that you talk about a young – there's a young player, but he made some plays last year, Mark. I remember that interception against Miami. Like, where did that come from? I mean, what do you think about this middle linebacker for the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, he's got a great wingspan. He's intelligent. He's got range. He can avoid blocks. He can run around blocks, quite frankly, and get back to the ball carrier because he's so fast. He understands the games. He can put guys in the right position. I mean, the sky's the limit for him. He's an exceptionally young, intelligent young man, and a guy who has athletic ability that's off the charts. And I think they knew what they were getting when they drafted him. I mean, this group drafted Luke Kuechly here in Charlotte, and for the Panthers, who has become a fantastic player and one of the best at his position in the league for a significant number of years here during his career and still continues to play at a high level. So Tremaine Edmonds just has a huge ceiling, a very high ceiling, and continues. He grew a lot last year. It took him three or four games before he felt really comfortable. And it's not he didn't need to figure things out. He just needed to get comfortable with the speed of the game and with understanding what teams were trying to do to him so that he could counter that with the great athleticism and football instincts that he has.
Mark, Bills fans are going to have to adjust to some tailgating changes happening before this upcoming season. And, of course, within the next few years here, we're going to have to talk a little bit more about the stadium. It's going to be an ongoing topic. I'm curious as to what you would prefer to see, a new shiny downtown stadium or a renovated, retrofitted New Era Field?
Yeah, I for one, would be in favor of building something down by the water. quite frankly. I mean, and down by, what are they calling the arena, the hockey arena these days?
KeyBank Center.
Bank of America?
Yeah, KeyBank Center. Yeah.
KeyBank Center. Sorry about that. Yeah, KeyBank Center. So, I mean, I'd love to see a facility downtown. I for one, enjoy playing in the weather elements, so I would not like to see a facility that has a roof over it, but I suspect if they do build a new facility, it will have a roof over it and be closed at certain times when there's real inclement weather, and you hate to see that because then you won't enjoy that advantage that you have when you're playing and practicing those conditions all the time, and an opponent comes from a warm weather city and is not accustomed to that situation at all. But I do think at some point that they'll have a new stadium, and it just makes a lot of sense to go in that metropolitan area right downtown.
Mark Kelso, who will be at the Rochester Red Wings, are you throwing out the first pitch tomorrow night, Mark? And if you are, you got to throw it right down the middle of the play. You understand that's a big
pass. I don't know how that works. I don't know if I'm part of that part of the first pitch ceremony or not. I know I'm signing some autographs. I'll bring the Super Bowl rings along. If anybody wants to come out and see those, I should call them AFC Championship rings because they're kind of Super Bowl second place rings. But they're really, I mean, it's a great piece of memorabilia of a career. And I don't know if anybody's seen them or seen all four of them at one time. But I'll bring those out, and people are welcome to look at those and put them on their hands and take a picture if they'd like to do that.
We're really excited to have you come to town. Cool. Mark Kelso signing at the Red Wings game tomorrow night. He'll be bringing the rings down. The Wings are hosting Columbus at 7:05, all class, and joining us for a few here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mark, we look forward to tomorrow. And by the way, congratulations. We're raising a glass. Congratulations on a great run in the booth. That was remarkable, and thanks for all the time and energy you put into informing us as fans of our favorite team.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, and I'm going to miss it, but it was a lot of fun, no question about that. And, hey, how about Wednesday night at the Red Wings? You come out and get a hot dog, peanuts, chips, and Cracker Jack for a buck? I mean, you're not getting all of them for a buck, right? Just a buck each.
I think you could probably haggle a little bit if you want to. Yeah. No, Mark, this is how the Rochester Red Wings do things. I mean, all summer long, it is an unbelievable value. It is a great night in Rochester, and having you in town tomorrow night is going to be the cherry on top. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. We used to get out all the time when I was in Buffalo. I was down at the Bisons to see them a lot, and came out to see the Red Wings a few times every summer as well. So. Really nice to do it. Glad to be a part of it, and look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow night.
Mark Kelso, Wings tomorrow night, 7:05 against Columbus. Who knows? Don't want to jinx everything. Rochester going for an 8th straight win tonight. Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it, Mark.
Yep. Yeah, have a good afternoon, guys.
That was awesome. Love Mark Kelso.
Class act. You know, that... And you realize, look, why did the Buffalo Bills go to 4 straight Super Bowls? They had... great talent, certainly the top end talent. They had Hall of Famers, and then they had guys like Mark Kelso,
character guys that
were kind of the glue of that team. So somebody that was policing that secondary, Mark Kelso, that was a lot of fun. If you jumped in late, we'll certainly have that up. And by the way, I did not even realize he's going to bring all 4 rings tomorrow night.
Yeah,
that's you can try on an AFC Championship ring,
one for each of your fingers minus your thumb.
There you go.
That's a good picture.
Yeah,
Instagram worthy. I'm ready to share who we're going to be talking to tomorrow at this time.
I was like, oh no, are you going to ask him? Because
scheduled to join us tomorrow in the sports bar at this time. He'll be calling in.
Well, should we play guess the person?
Nah.
It's somebody that tortured the Buffalo Bills in that Super Bowl run.
Yeah,
that was the. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to bring this up with Kelso. Right
no,
now.
But listen, we can learn a lot from him, and we've talked to people in Dallas before. We can learn a lot from him in terms of what the Buffalo Bills are getting in their new wide receiver, Cole Beasley. Tomorrow at this time in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, the playmaker is going to be joining us.
The playmaker. Whoa.
Michael Irvin.
Woo.
Michael Irvin tomorrow at 4:25. Scheduled to join us. Look, it's Michael Irvin. So he's got our number. He's going to call us. I assume that is going to happen. We have confirmation that Michael Irvin will be joining us. The playmaker will be on with us here in the sports bar tomorrow afternoon at this time.
You do realize that book
Bernstein same time.
Well,
Dennis is going to be like, he's not going to be happy with us tomorrow.
Right.
Like,
well, we also have a game seven, so we wanted to invite our friend Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period on, and we booked him at 4:25. Dennis is cool. He understands. Yeah, like, hey, Dennis, not to big time you, but
he's gonna bust our chops.
Yeah, listen, you know, a far more important name just emerged at 4:25. Michael Irvin's gonna be joining us, and tomorrow afternoon at 3:25, we'll get us a Game 7 Stanley Cup preview from Dennis Bernstein, our buddy from the fourth period, who is very, very flexible, and we appreciate him so much for making time for us as well. So our show tomorrow is going to be fun. Bernstein at 3:25. The Playmaker at 4:25. Peter tweeting us at ESPN Rochester. You know, so much to react to. We just had a Bills great on with us for a good 20 minutes.
Yeah, we had a great golf interview. We gave you great NBA takes.
Uh-huh.
Don't talk about stupid M&Ms.
Peter tweets at ESPN Rochester, peanut butter M&Ms are by far the best. Yep. The non-sports take every day, it feels like the non-sports take gets some traction. We could just talk about the impact of Kevin Durant's Achilles injury. We could talk about Buffalo Bills and mandatory minicamp. Or we could talk about which M&Ms are the superior M&Ms.
It's the month of June, folks.
Yes. Speaking of Buffalo Bills minicamp, let's talk to somebody who was there.
Wow. Oh, the definition of bittersweet. Because we've had him actually guest hosting this show.
Yes.
Toby Motika, 13 Wham, one last time. Yes, he's leaving. So we'll ask him, what are you doing? So that, and of course, we'll...
What are you doing? Yeah,
who gave you permission, Toby?
Yeah. Do you hate money? You're going to school? What? Toby Motika, 13 Wham Sports, joining us next in the sports bar with a recap of day one of Buffalo Bills mandatory minicamp. AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
This is the NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors storm into their fifth straight finals, fresh off a sweep of Portland.
Here come the Warriors. Curry behind the triple. Shoots and scores.
They'll face Kawhi and the Toronto Raptors.
Kawhi Leonard, he drives in the lane, flies high, and hammers it home with a right hand.
This is your home for the NBA Finals. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.